Let's begin with the whole idea of dating and relationship with the opposite sex. What does the Bible say? And what does the Bible say about dating? And let me begin by this, by saying that listen, if you want to go to the Bible and find all kind of information about dating, well, good luck, because there's just not very much there. In fact, I remember it was a number of years ago, that radio station 105.5, it used to be called KKND. And on Sunday nights, they used to have a talk program in which they would invite a pastor or somebody to come, and they would have people ask questions over the radio. And they asked me to go up several times. And one of the things they wanted me to do, they called me one night and said, why don't you come up next Sunday night and do a whole thing on dating? And I said, well, in fact, the girl called me and said, why don't you do what the Bible talks about dating? I said, well, there won't be hardly anything. Now, we can talk about relationships, but to go to the Bible to find dating, the culture of the Bible didn't date. I mean, it just wasn't like it is today. In fact, when you think about Isaac, the story of Isaac, what happened? They sent out a servant to find a bride for him, and that was Rebekah. And they found her and said, would you go back and want to be with her? Yeah, I will. And she went and says, as soon as he saw her coming, she jumped off the camel when she saw him, and it says, they loved each other then. And see, our society says that love is this feeling that you have, and you might look across the crowded room and see someone, or you might be attracted to someone, and that can come and go. But the biblical aspect of love is not something that comes and goes. It's not a feeling. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. The Bible does talk about relationships. It talks about marriage. There are a lot of principles from God's Word that we'll look at. Let's begin with this. We're just going to go through some real practical things, I think. One is, the first question, why date? What is the purpose of dating? And as I said, we're not going to be able to go to the Bible to find all this, but here's some reasons. First of all, it's for fun, to enjoy the company of others, to do things together. That's one of the purposes for dating. There's a second thing, and that's relationships, interpersonal relationships. It's learning how to get along with people, especially those who have the opposite sex. That's one of the purposes of dating. There is a third thing, now listen carefully, and that is mate selection. In our culture, we get with other people, we go out on dates, we do those kind of things in order to find someone that we might want to spend the rest of our lives with. There is that progression in dating. There's dating, and then you have friendship, and then you begin to steady date, and before you know it, you're engaged, and then you're married. One of the key reasons for dating is mate selection. Now think about this. You find out, listen carefully, find out which person you want to marry. Now notice I didn't say you find out the kind of person you want to marry. You're not dating to find out the kind of person you want to marry. You're dating to find the person you want to marry. You should already know what kind of person that you want to marry. You want to marry a Christian. You want to marry someone who's on fire for Jesus Christ. You want to marry someone who is growing. Someone who has as a person of character. Someone who has a personality that you enjoy and want to be with. So it's not what kind of person you're looking for. It's which person you're looking for. As we begin the whole process of this aspect of talking about dating, we're going to see some building blocks of relationships. There are four building blocks I want you to think about. And in fact, in any relationship that you're in even now, that you've been in the past, or that you're going to be in, I want you to think about these four blocks. As I said earlier, that all people, whether they're Christians or not, can have put together three of these blocks. But we as believers, we have an advantage. We've got a fourth block that ties in there as well. Now, before we do that, I want to raise two questions or two important areas that I think that come up a lot. In fact, in the 10 years I've been at Countryside, sometimes when people come in and they ask me questions about dating and boyfriends or girlfriends, these two questions come up over and over, so I want to deal with them. The first one is this, should I date an unbeliever? And the second question is, what about dating someone, if they're a believer, but they're not really on fire for Christ? I mean, they've talked about it, they've trusted Jesus, but they're not really growing as a Christian. Should I date them? Well, let's start first. What about dating an unbeliever? Well, we know from the Bible that you're not to marry an unbeliever. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says this, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? And the bottom line is this, that the Bible says that you're not to, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not to marry someone that doesn't know Christ as Savior. You're not to marry someone who's not a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39 basically says, when you marry in the Lord, meaning you marry another Christian. So bottom line is, there's no future in a relationship with someone who does not know Christ. And so people say, well, is it okay to date them? Here's the problem. The longer you're with a person, many times the harder it is to break off a relationship. And you can be attracted and like a person who is not a Christian. and they can have some great character and great things, but you're disobedient to the Scripture if you do that. So the best thing is not to get that involved. Some person, people may say, yeah, but I want that person to come to know Christ. Well, the purpose of dating is not evangelism. It's to grow in relationships with someone that is like-minded and like background and those kind of things. You can evangelize without dating. So my advice, it's best not to date an unbeliever because you can get attracted, you can get attached, and before you know it, you might violate the Scripture. There was a girl in our church when I first came, back when we had 20 people. She had married a guy. She was a Christian. She taught Sunday school at our church. Husband never came. Never came one time. And I talked to her and I said, you know, I'd like to meet him. She said, look, he's not a Christian. I said, oh, man. She said, JB, I made a mistake. She said, I love him. But while I dated him, I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old. When I dated him at OSU, we talked about it. He said, I don't believe that stuff. I'm not a Christian. She said, he kept asking me out. I kept going. Before I know it, I liked him a lot. In fact, I knew I should not have married him. She said, I love him and he's a good man. However, we have no spiritual dimension to our marriage. He doesn't understand when I talk about Christ. He doesn't understand when I talk about eternal life. He doesn't understand when I talk about our children being brought up in the Lord. He doesn't have a clue. He never goes to church with me. I go to church and I go by myself. She said, I am missing that spiritual dimension because I violated the Scripture there. We pray and keep praying that someday he'll come to know Christ as his Savior. That's the plan. So the first question, should you date an unbeliever? I don't think it's that wise to do. You might get attached to him and then want to violate the Scripture. Second question is, what about dating a believer who's not fired up? You know, they're a Christian, but they're not really living for the Lord now. And sometimes we think, I know they're not now, but after we're married, you know, if we get together, and because, boy, maybe they will. In fact, they probably will. Well, let me just say this to you. You get what you see. Don't count on the fact that when you marry someone, if they're not fired up now, they will then. Or that when they get married to you, that you're going to change them. Do not count on that. If they're not what you want now, don't go after them. If they're not fired up now, what makes you think they're going to be fired up later? So I recommend, as far as dating one who is a believer, I recommend this. Date someone who is a believer and is on fire for Jesus Christ. Growing and serving and living for the Lord. That their character is one who is becoming more and more like Christ. Don't sell yourself short. You're special. You know Jesus Christ is Savior. You're growing. You're excited. God wants you to have someone special. Let me tell you what I saw one day. I'll never forget it. I was at Leo's, and I was waiting for somebody, so I was sitting in those little chairs out by the wall. You know, you can look in there. There was a guy and girl sitting in there. Sharp look, handsome guy, pretty girl. But let me tell you about that guy, a man of no character. You know how I know? I watched them, and they got ready to get up. They get ready to go pay, and they were sitting at a table right where I could see them. I was just waiting. He got up from the table, just did this, went over and paid. Walked back and walked, never went even back to her. She got up. She's trying to put her coat on. She finally got it on. He just looks at her like, are you ready to go or not? And so he walks out the door and she's following him. He opens that first glass door. And just as he opens it, he remembers that he left something on that table. And he says about three bad words and turns around, runs into her and kind of pushes her out of the way and says, I forgot my... And he turns around and goes back in, grabs it. Walks back out, walks right past her, opens the door, and as he opens the door, she's trying to follow him, but the door closes right back on her, so then she opens the door. He's already out the second door. Let me tell you, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go to that girl and say, get away from this guy. He doesn't respect you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't show any respect for you. You don't need a guy like that. That's not what you're looking for. For a guy or a girl, you want somebody who's going to respect you and love you and care for you. You want somebody that's on fire for Jesus Christ because that's the best thing they could ever be. You want someone that when your little ones come up that you can say, I want you to be like your daddy. I want you to be like your mama. That's what you want. Don't sell yourself short. You deserve that. That's what you're supposed to have. So I recommend you go after somebody who's not only a believer, but someone who's on fire for Jesus Christ. Let's look at the building blocks. There are four of them. And you need these building blocks to have a strong relationship. And as you date, there are going to be times that in certain dating relationships, this is going to be the one. This is going to be that one that you thought may never happen, and in one day it happens. And it can happen fast, let me tell you. I want to look at these basic blocks, and what we really are thinking about is love. And love is what builds relationships. And as we look at these building blocks, they're all, in a sense, based on love. And what I'm going to do is this. There are a number of words in the Bible for love. In fact, we're going to look at four Greek words that are sort of faint. Some of them you've heard of, some of them you haven't. But we're going to look at them, and they all fit in these building blocks for the relationship that would be a strong relationship for marriage. Let me give you the first one. Now, this is not exactly a special order, but this is sometimes usually the order that it happens. The first building block is the aspect of love of what we call physical love. It's a Greek word, eros. It actually means physical love or physical attraction. It even has the idea of sexual aspect. But this word has an idea of a physical attraction. We get our word erotic from it. The first aspect or the first building block in relationships is you've got to be attracted to that person. Now notice, I'm not saying you have a physical relationship. I'm talking about having a physical attraction. You've got to want to be interested in that person. You've got to like the way that person looks to you. You've got to be attracted to that person. We're not talking about sexual relations. We're not talking about physical relation. We're talking about physical attraction. When I was 33 years old, I was in the panhandle of Texas. I was flying back and forth. I was in Dallas Seminary, and I'd fly back and had this couple, and they said, "Oh, we got this girl for you. We've got you one." And I will take anybody. I mean, anybody. I would say, yes, yes, oh, yeah, anybody. Just show her to me, you know. But the truth is, I was 36 years old when I finally got married because I was particular in one sense, and they were pretty particular too, let me tell you. But I saw this girl, and she was a sweet girl, but I was not attracted to her in the least. And so I think there is a building block of the fact that you're attracted to that person. So there's a physical attraction, not relationship, but attraction. There's a second building block, and it's from the Greek word phileo. It means love, but this is the word love that has an idea of a friendship, a relationship based on a character, on knowing each other and caring about each other. As two people begin to know each other, they may start off by saying, "Boy, I like the way she looks. Boy, I like the way he looks." That's that physical attraction aspect. And that's okay. That's good. But as you begin to be with that person, you begin to say, "You know, I like the way this person thinks. I like their values. I like what they think. I like what they say." This is more of an aspect of character. It's personality, it's actions, it's beliefs, it's being, all of those things. See, the key to a person is this character part. Now, look, I mean, there are people here tonight. You're handsome guys, beautiful girls. But let me tell you, looks change. You get older and older and you look worse and worse. Let's face it. If you build a relationship on how pretty some girl is, 25 or 30 years down the road, she's not going to look that way. If that's what you go after, it's going to change. You can count on that. If you build your relationship on how handsome some guy is or how sharp he looks and what he can do, 30 years down the road, he's not going to look that way. So you can't build it just on this physical. You've got to be attractive, but that's not the bottom line. You have to build it on this character aspect. And it takes time to discover what that other person is like. What are their values? What are their interests? What are their beliefs? Can you trust them? Can they communicate with you? Character is the key. I met my wife in Mississippi. I was living here. I flew back to Mississippi to do an ordination service for a friend of mine. And my best friend was married to this lady, and her twin sister now is my wife. And we all got together at that time. But my wife lived in Memphis, and I lived here. And I wrote her letters every day. She wrote me letters every day. We talked every day. We began to build her. I knew what she was like, not because I got to spend every second with her, because I only didn't get to see her hardly any. But her letters, what she believed, what she thought, what she wanted out of life. And I wrote the same thing, and I talked to, you know. So it takes a while for you to know that person. And sometimes we go too fast. You need to know that person. You need to know their character. How do they react under pressure? What is their family like? What are their beliefs? What's really important to them? Let me say this to you. The younger you are, the longer it takes. If you're 18, 19, 20, let me tell you, what you think is great at 18, you're not going to think is great at age 25. Let me tell you, it's not the same. Be careful. Take time in those relationships. Go slow. Here's a question that I want to raise, and something that happens, and I've had people come in and talk about these things too. In relationships, as people are beginning to grow, what do you do if one person is more serious? What if you're the one that says, hey, she is the one, and you say to her, hey, you think he's the one? Well, he's all right. Yeah, he's a nice guy. I don't know if he's the one. This guy over here already thinks she's the one. What do you do? What do you do in a relationship as they begin to progress, but one seems to be more serious than the other? What do you do? Well, let me tell you some advice that I found just over the years in watching people and even things that I experienced. You've got to give people freedom. If you are serious and you say to yourself, listen, you know, I've dated, I know that she's the one I would want. She may not know that yet. She may not know that you're the one for her. What do you do? I have seen relationships where the guy basically says, you are the one, and she says, I'm not sure. And he says, look, if you can't decide, you know, I mean, we're going to have to make some decisions right here. What I tell you is give people freedom. Freedom to date anybody, to go do whatever they want. Let me tell you this. First of all, you got to trust the Lord in this. If that person is the one for you, there is not anything in this whole world can stop it. If God has planned that you two will be together, it doesn't matter if she dates five other guys in between you, you're going to get her, you know? And if he's the one that God has for you, it doesn't matter how many girls he dates, you're the one. And let me tell you from the flip side, if this is not the person, there is nothing that you can do. You just have to trust God. And if that person is less serious than you are, you have to sit back and give them freedom. If freedom is not allowed, some things will happen. First of all, you're not trusting God. Second is that person may marry you someday with doubts. And they may say, you know, I felt pressure to marry him, and he just kept saying, if I don't hurry up and make a decision, and I went ahead and married him because I really liked him, but, you know, I always wanted to date that other guy too. And sometimes if you don't allow freedom, you destroy the relationship. So my advice is give freedom in these relationships until you're ready to be married. Let's go back to the building blocks. We've seen the first one is the physical attraction. The second one is what we call the friendship one. It's the one with the character. Let me tell you, this is the most important one. You've got to know the character of the person. The third one comes from a Greek word which you may have never heard of, because you've probably heard of Eros and you've heard of Phileo because they're famous. But this one is word Storge. It's S-O-S-T-O-R-G-E. That's how it looks like, storge, but it's Storge in the Greek. And it literally has an idea of a partnership. This is where two people get to a point where they're saying, we want to be together. It's two people who want to unite. They have the same goals, the same plans, the same desires, the same beliefs, all of those kind of things. It basically gets to a point where two people say, we want to share our lives together. It's that partnership type love where they commit to each other. This is for all people. Any human being, because see, God set up marriage not just for believers, but He set up the institution for marriage for all people. That's why in the Genesis 2:24 it says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they're no longer two but one. You leave mother and father, and you become one, and you cleave to each other. Which means, literally the Hebrew means, you glue to each other. You commit to each other. We're going to talk more about that in session 3, about the whole idea of permanency of marriage. We live in a society that says, you know, we'll get married. If it doesn't work out, we'll break it off. The Bible doesn't look at marriage that way at all, any way, shape, or form. We'll think more about that. This is a commitment type love. We have a society, and I thought this. See, I was not a Christian. My mother and daddy were great people, neat people, and they taught me great values, but we never went to church. I went to church when I was 6, and I went to church once when I was 12. I trusted Christ when I was 19. I can remember, even after I became a Christian, I didn't understand the idea of commitment love. I had no idea of what I was talking about. And I would like a person, and I would have feelings. And then after a while, you know how feelings are. They come and they go. And I would think, well, I thought I loved her, but I don't love her. She thought she loved me, now she doesn't love me. And I even went to some weddings. Not very many, but I went to some. And you sit there and you see these two people walk down, and in front of a pastor, they say something like, do you promise to live with this person for rich or poor for as long as you shall live? And they say, I do. And I thought to myself, how could you ever promise you're going to love somebody? Because love goes up and down. It's a feeling. That's what I thought. But it's not. Love is a commitment. And when I found Gene, my wife, I knew and I loved her, and I said, I will commit myself to you for as long as I live. It has nothing to do with feelings. There are feelings there, let me tell you. But feelings come and go. Love doesn't come and go. Commitment doesn't come and go. And this storge idea is that two people basically are saying, we want to commit to each other in a partnership. That's what it is. And you've got to have that building block where you get to that point. The problem in our society is people are looking for relationships, but they're not looking for permanent relationships. There's one more we want to look at, and we'll close. And there's physical. The physical love, the partnership love, the friendship love. And the fourth one is that the Christians have. This is the advantage. We have God's love, and it's the Greek word agape. It's love that expects nothing in return. We're going to see a lot more details on this when we get to session 3, because that's where you have the permanency of marriage and how all this ties together. As believers, we can have this kind of love. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness. The very first one is love, and it's the Greek word agape love. It's the kind of love that God has. See, God loves us with an unchanging, everlasting love. God doesn't love me because I serve Him. God doesn't not love me when I don't serve Him. God loves me in an unchanging love that He loves me whether I serve Him or not. He already so loved me that He sent His Son to die in my place. And I was like a sheep going astray, each one my own way. I didn't even care anything about Him. Didn't even know Him. And He's loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. His love never changes. It's an unchanging, as the Bible calls it, a covenantal love. It never changes. This is the kind of love that we can have for one another. Not only can we have it for brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can have it for someone else that we want to commit to forever. And there's an unchanging love. See, people have a conception that when you get married, it's 50-50. 50-50. I'll do my part, she'll do our part, her part. It's a partnership. It is not 50-50. You know what it is? It's 100-0. You do everything you're supposed to do whether the other person does one thing or not. It's 100-0. You do it all. That's that kind of love we're talking about. It's God's love through you that you give it all. And when two people are married to each other and they're living their lives in God's love, which means 100% total, it can be something beyond what you could imagine. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for them. God is to love, we're to love our wives enough to die for them. It says over there in Titus, wives, love your husbands. We're going to see a lot more later on. When we think about dating is for believers. We're to date another believer. You're to date a fired up believer. Don't sell yourself short. Just because some guy's handsome, don't let him not show you respect. If he doesn't show you respect, get rid of him. He's not worth it. I don't care what he looks like, I don't know what he can do, and I don't care what his potential is. If he doesn't respect you for who you are, he's never going to respect you. You don't want to go the rest of your life with that kind of guy. Love one another. Those four building blocks, there's got to be that physical attraction. And that's great. That's the easiest one. Then you can be attracted to a bunch of people. Then there's that friendship, which takes time because you're looking at character. And then there's that idea of partnership in which you say, I would like to be with this person for the rest of my life. That's building block number 3. And then the fourth one is that unconditional love that we as believers can have for one another. And so when you think about it, we're going to talk more about building block number 4 later on, but you got those four blocks, the attraction, the character, the partnership, and the unchanging, unconditional love for one another. That's the building blocks that you've got to have when you get ready to go into that marriage relationship. There are some more things involved, and we'll talk about that in lesson 3, but there's a lot there. Next time, sex. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it straightforward. It is the hardest thing you deal with. We'll deal with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for just the beginning. Boy, what a fun time tonight already. And Lord, we think about relationships, and I thank You that in my life, You gave me someone not only that I was attracted to, not only that they had that character which was like you. And on top of that, Lord, it was a person that I wanted to be with the rest of my life. And then finally, Lord, you gave me through your power that unconditional love, a love that never changes. Lord, I pray for each one, especially when we think that so many here are single and that we're all looking, that they're looking for these relationships. Lord, I pray that they will be wise as they think about the building blocks, and especially when they think about character, that they will look to a person who knows Jesus Christ, a person who is a person of character, a person who is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, a person that they would want to commit to for the rest of their lives, and knowing they have that unconditional love from our Savior. Lord, we ask you that as we progress through our study of dating, relationships, and sex, there will be truths and principles that we can apply in our lives even now. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.